ghost of a Nelson Mandela coming to you from beyond the grave to bring you Nelson Mandela's Ghostly Podcastings. Hello, my friends. It's me, Nelson Mandela. Poppity ping, de wah 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 wah. So, last time we spoke, I was rudely interrupted by the transparent cube. Truth be told, I was not planning to speak about the cube so early in this podcast ends. But, as always, fate makes us face these challenges in its own time, not ours. To tell you about the cube, I need to tell you about the darkest time in my life. In August of 1962, I was arrested and subsequently sentenced to 5 years in prison for incitement and for leaving the country illegally, having left to receive military training and to gather support for Umkhonto we Sizwe. Initially, I was held in Pretoria before being moved to Robben Prison and then back again in 1963. I then stood accused in the Rivonia trial, and in June of 1964, I was sentenced to life imprisonment. No! There are things men must sacrifice for what they believe in. And in 1968, my mother died. I was forbidden from attending her funeral. A year later, my son died, and I was forbidden from attending his funeral. These were sacrifices I was prepared to accept for what I believed in. In March of 1982, I was transferred to Polsmore Prison, and in 1985, I rejected President Botha's offer to release me if I renounced violence. Huh! This did not go down well, and I remembered 21 years earlier, in what became known as my speech from the dock, I had said, I have fought against white domination, and I have fought against black domination. I have cherished the ideal of a democratic and free society in which all persons live together in harmony and with equal opportunities. It is an ideal which I hope to live for and to achieve, but if needs be, it is an ideal for which I am prepared to die. My friends, believe me, I was certainly prepared to remain in prison. The president was furious with me, and the beatings I received as a consequence for my alleged insolence were horrendous. After 3 years of savage beatings, in November 1985, I was admitted to Volks Hospital in Cape Town for prostate surgery to treat my horrendous injuries. Oh, my prostate! But upon my release from hospital, I began communicating with the government about securing talks with the ANC, which would eventually lead to my release and the unbanning of all political organizations. In August of 1988, I was admitted to Tigerberg Hospital, where I was diagnosed with tuberculosis. Huh! My friends, I have never had tuberculosis in my life! Juanza had been transferred to Tigerberg, the prison's chief medical officer. The nefarious Nazi doctor, Colonel Walter von Drunen, surgically implanted a transparent cube into my abdomen. When I inquired as to the reasons for this complex and very dangerous medical procedure, he spat in my face and called me a nignog.
Nignog?
You beast!
Hold still, Schwanzer!
No! Let me go!
Klaus, bring me 15 cc's of sildenafil citrate!
I'll call her, Doctor!
Klaus, what are you doing?
I was scared. Dr. von Drunen came at me slowly, cradling something in his hands. What are you doing? What is that?
Nothing you need to worry about.
No! Oh, God, no! I woke up in my cell the next day with a terrible pain in my abdomen. Bloody bandages crudely wrapped around my tummy. The cube seemed to pulse inside of me, and the pain was horrendous. In August of 1988, I was transferred to Konstantinberg Mediclinic to continue my treatment before being transferred to Victor Vesta Prison in December of 1988 for what would be the last 2 years of my incarceration. Over those 2 years, I became aware that the cube would pulse with energy depending on the lunar cycle. This would cause me terrible pain. And the more I would clutch at my tummy, the more it would hurt and send shooting pains down on my legs. It was on one such day, when I was sat naked in my cell, keeled over in pain, staring at the circular scar on my tummy. The cruel work of Dr. von Drunen. It had been years since that day, and as I seductively ran my finger over the circular scar, I remember the procedure. By the time I left prison, the cube's pulsing had diminished. Years had passed and the cube lay dormant. Until one fateful night. What is it, woman?
I think there's something outside.
Of course there's something outside. You cannot expect the whole world to be in our bedroom with us, woman.
Nelson, please. I think I can hear wolves.
There was a look in her eyes that sent a shiver down my spine. And the transparent cube began to pulse. I threw on my pajamas and ran to the porch. I grabbed my trusty garden rake and headed into the forest. After what felt like hours, I was lost. I stopped to catch my breath and gain my bearings. When suddenly, I was surrounded. The wolves were closing in on me, and as they edged closer, the clouds parted and the moonlight shone through and revealed the wolves to be enormous! Oh my goodness! They were easily twice the size of a man! They were no ordinary wolves, they were werewolves! The werewolves encircled me, drawing closer. And the pack leader stood in front of me, its blood-red eyes fixed on me, its lips drawn back in a snarl, revealing its sharp yellow teeth. I tightened my grip on the rake and prepared to defend myself. It stood on its hind legs, ready to lunge at me, and I stepped back with fear into the moonlight. The cube pulled stronger than ever before. But this time, there was no pain, The pulsion grew and grew, and I screamed as a brilliant white light exploded from my tummy, sending light in every direction into the forest. The werewolves howled in fear and ran into the forest, and I collapsed into darkness. I was back in my bed. Was it a dream? My beautiful wife was laying beside me in a deep slumber. I scrambled under the covers, pulling my nightshirt up to my chin to examine my tummy. The circular scar was gone, and so was the cube. And so, my friends, I went on with my life.
Nelson Mandela.
What is that?
Mandela.
Who is that?
Nelson Mandela.
Who?
Summon!
No!